And welcome to another episode of G220 Radio. This is Ricky Gantz along with Mike Miller and the original Natty P. This is episode number 451, an interview with Tom Hoefling, and we are excited about this program tonight. I'm excited just to be back on the show. I've been out for 2 weeks, and so it's good to be back. Brothers, how we doing? Mike? That's it. Just pretty good. Where's the excitement? Where's the excitement? This is G220 Radio. We're back in full force. Oh. Well, it's a good thing you work with coffee, so you can stay. There you go. All right, so let me try to turn this up here. Mike, they say they can't hear you. Maybe you can turn up your mic a little bit somehow. Natty P, how we doing, brother? Yeah, real conversations with real people. Well, we definitely are excited. We're, like I said, this is episode number 451. Man, we're moving. We was just talking before the show about when we get to number 666, because Mike and I both listened to a program this week from the Reform Forum, and that was their episode number. And we're going to have to do something on dispensationalism at that time, but we also figured we can do 616 as well. But we'll get into that at that time. It's going to come quickly, so we need to start preparing now. But yeah, this is episode number 451. We're going to have an interview with Tom Hoefling. He is running for president of the United States, and we're going to talk to him all about that here on the program tonight. So we're going to go ahead and bring him in. Mute him here. All right, Tom, if you would Yeah, Tom, if you would unmute yourself, I'm sorry. Yes, the wonders of technology. So I'm back, and I'm supposed to be able to run this thing, and not doing very good at it right at the moment here. There we go. I am sorry about that. This is a... We normally have our guests on with us with the YouTube, and so when we go ahead or through Zoom and we go ahead and unmute them, we usually have it that way. Having a call in is a little different for us, so I'm trying to get back into the flow of things. So please forgive me for that. Yeah. So Tom, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself? This is your second time on G220 Radio. You came on back in 2016. You was running for president back then as well. And so why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, those who may not be aware of who you are.
God's not going to let that go forever. His patience at some point is going to run out. You can't begin to not just allow sodomy
All right, hold.
to run rampant. Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to I think we're having some difficulties here. Not the way we want to get things going here.
I feel like I'm hearing him now on the stream.
Okay. Let me see here. I'm sorry, Tom. Again, technical difficulties. This is my first time back. I'm excited to be back after 2 weeks of off, and it's like I forgot how to run things over here. And
It's
so
okay.
please forgive me. I guess we'll go ahead and try to continue, and
Yeah,
hopefully.
sounds good now.
Oh, Mike says we're good.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that. If you want to go ahead and start again, and we'll just hit it from that point.
All right. Well, want me to start completely over?
Yeah, wherever you want to go ahead and just let the folks know a little bit
Okay.
about yourself.
Well, gentlemen, I'm just happy to be back on your show. I remember our interview 4 years ago. I know it was a very good interview. I really appreciate the work you all do. I'm glad to be back here. Again, I'm Tom Hoefling from Iowa. I'm a longtime conservative activist, active in political campaigns for about 25 years all across the country at all levels. Got into national politics about 20 years ago, a little more than 20 years ago, primarily because I became involved with Dr. Alan Keyes and his presidential campaign. I eventually became his national political director. 2008, there was no way we were going to support John McCain, a man who had spent his entire career fighting everything we believe in the cloakrooms of the Senate. And so we started a new party in 2008 called America's Party. We ran Dr. Keyes for president in 2008. We kind of parted ways with Dr. Keyes after that. And in 2012 and 2016, I was the nominee of America's Party for president. This time I'm running as an independent. The various states have kind of robbed us of ballot access. Some of it rather nefariously. So we just went ahead this time between COVID and everything else. We just decided we're going to run a write-in campaign this year. Mainly, I am on the ballot in Louisiana myself and my running mate, Andy Pryor from Texas. But basically, we just don't see anybody out there saying what needs to be said. If you go to tomhoefling2020.com, you'll see my platform. Our party platform is at selfgovernment.us. There's nobody else carrying that message. I believe it's that platform carries a message that is really the only hope for this country. The message of turning back to God. First and foremost, our campaign slogan is repent. And that's aimed not first and foremost at the heathens in this country, but at the church. We have millions of Christians right now in this country that are supporting a wicked man for president of the United States. And the people that I represent don't go along with that. They're not going to support a man who thinks it's an honor to be called the most pro-gay president in American history. They don't think they should be spending their precious civic franchise on a man who has signed every bill to fund the abortionist that's come across his desk. Last year, it was a record amount, 616 million Planned Parenthood received.
Yeah.
So the people I represent don't go for that, and they want somebody to represent them. We have everything against us in the worldly sense. We don't have the media on our side. We don't have money. We don't have all of those things. All we have is a platform that represents the only path back for the country. Turn back to God, stop killing babies, restore God's institution of marriage, restore our constitutional form of government. So that's what I'm about.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I came across you back in 2016, being someone who goes out and proclaims the gospel at abortion centers, preaching the gospel there, calling women to turn from that place and offering them help, trying to get them to not murder their child. And so I came across your name through some other people that were like-minded in that, and got behind you in 2016 and supported you then. And this year, or this, you know, election season now, we're facing a similar situation. It seems like it gets down to there's only two parties. There's only two parties, and third parties really don't stand a chance. That's what you hear every election cycle, you know, when it comes around for the presidential election. Or a no vote is, you know, just a wasted vote. Or again, you're voting for, if you don't vote for one of the two parties or you vote third party, they'll say it's a wasted vote. So what would you say to those individuals who would think that voting for a third party, as you said, you're basically, you've got all the things stacked against you. You don't have the support. COVID-19 really threw a wrench in a lot of people's plans this year. And so what do you say to those people who have an issue with a third party voter or thinking, because they're hearing it from both sides, from the Democratic side or the Republican side, that if you don't vote for Donald Trump, you're basically giving your vote to Joe Biden. If you don't vote for the Democratic ticket, you're basically giving your vote to Donald Trump. What would you say to those individuals who make that argument there?
Well, I say lots of things, and of course I have to say them every day because we hear this sort of thing constantly. First of all, that's a logical fallacy. Look it up. It's a false dichotomy. There are more than two choices. There will be dozens of people who will be available to vote for on enough ballots to win the presidency this year, far more than just Donald Trump or Joe Biden. So it's just not true to start with. Secondly, we've got all these millions of Christians. They've been trained to be godless utilitarians instead of Christians. We're not supposed to be political bookies. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to do what's right, no matter what the cost is. And I mean, the things that I'm seeing coming out of the church are just appalling, gentlemen. I just saw an article earlier today by a Christian pastor, and I couldn't believe it. It was paragraph after paragraph after paragraph of sophistry, lying sophistry in Christian clothes. But it all came down to, well, we have to support him because of abortion. Well, that's false, too, because Donald Trump doesn't care about abortion. He hasn't done anything about abortion. He just, the debate the other night, he told the whole world, he said, Roe v. Wade's not on the ballot. What are you talking about? We're not voting on abortion here. He's fully funded Planned Parenthood. He makes exceptions. I mean, that's what's overt. I mean, I believe he's the same pro-abort he's always been. But, I mean, those are just his public positions. Plus, his judicial nominees are uniformly judicial supremacists who sit there and say, I have to follow precedent and super precedent. They worship in the altar of stare decisis, not keeping their oath to provide equal protection for every person in this country to support and defend the Constitution. We're not going to end abortion that way.
Yeah.
So, it's fallacies on top of lies on top of deceptions that millions of Christians are all wrapped up in right now, all in support of the most wicked reprobate we've ever had in public life in this country. You go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read the first 9 verses. It describes the characteristics of men in the last days. And Donald Trump fits that mold almost every clause, virtually every clause. And it says we're supposed to turn away from people like that, not elect them to the most powerful position on the planet.
Yeah, along with that, I've heard, and would like your comments on this, like even people agree with you, like even Donald Trump, like he's not a moral person, that we shouldn't, like if there was a better candidate, we should go after him. But because he is Republican and pragmatically say, well, we should vote for him because Supreme Court justices, or to push back the communist invasion or socialism invasion or whatever that may be. So,
right.
Kind of the question is, you know, you know, what point does pragmatics, voting pragmatically versus kind of more of a principle vote, which kind of how you're platforming is that, look, we should vote principally, not just because of what may happen.
Well, Jesus destroyed pragmatism with one simple little question. He said, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Okay, so their pragmatism, you know, it's not bad because it's not practical. It's bad because it's just short-sighted. It only can see about as far as, you know, your finger in front of your face. It can't see what's coming. When the Bible tells us we reap what we sow, it's always been that way in this creation, and it always will be. We reap what we sow. And so, I mean, their arguments are just bogus. That's all.
I think it's that.
I mean, what else can you say? Go study up on Jeremy Bentham and utilitarianism, the greatest good for the greatest number. This is what the pro-life movement has now been teaching Christians in this country for half a century, is to be good little utilitarians. You know, it's moral relativism. It's situationism, whatever you want to call it. It is not Christian. It's not biblical.
Yeah. I think it's more, it seems like it's this fear tactic that's used to try to, as you said, control this group of individuals. And you see it every election cycle, you know, whether it's for president or senators, governors, you know, or even lower, you know, when it gets more local, I should say, not lower, but gets local, where they will appeal to certain blocks of individuals to try to win that vote. Well, we want to appeal to Christians. And I look at it like this. I am one that believes that as a Christian, we should not violate our conscience. If your conscience, your convictions say, I cannot vote for a Democrat, I cannot vote for a Republican, you should not do that out of fear. And I would also, I mean, I won't get into it here tonight, but I would also have issues with someone who says, I am a Christian, but then has no problem voting just openly for a Democratic Party that is completely opposed to everything godly. Whereas I think that the Republican Party at times seems to be a more conservative branch, and that's why I think a lot of Christians lean that way. But I think, as you said, they fall into this trap that the pro-life movement has been doing for years and years and years, this incremental approach. Well, if we only get this many Supreme Court justices in there, we'll end Roe v. Wade. Well, if we can only get this heartbeat bill to pass, we'll move that much closer to ending abortion. And where are we? Since Roe v. Wade, where are we in that? We're nowhere. And as you said, it's very short-sighted in their views.
Every pro-abortion ruling by the Supreme Court in the last 50 years was from a Republican court. Obergefell, gay marriage, so-called. That's from a Republican court. Look, at the heart of the problems we're having right now is this fallacy of judicial supremacy. Our main... I don't usually call it a ministry, but our main site for fighting abortion is equalprotectionforposterity.com. And if you go there, and there's a link there called Judicial Supremacy, top center of the navigation, right at the top of the page, and start to study out, look, we're not supposed to be ruled by the judges anyway. Every president since Nixon just simply said no to the Roe Court. The true jurisdiction of the Supreme Court is simply to decide the cases that come before them according to the Constitution, according to morality, according to the moral law, because they swear to establish justice. So do what's right, follow the Constitution. If they get outside of that, they don't have any constitutional authority to to make laws. They don't have any constitutional authority to veto laws. Those powers are reserved to the other two branches of government. All they can do is decide cases that come before them. And if they do it wrong, then it is the duty of the other two branches of government to check and balance them. Every president since Nixon should have just simply said, no, we're not going to allow genocide to take place in our country. We're not going to allow mass murder to take place in our country. This is why every time I run, I've said, if I become president, I will recognize the humanity of the child in the womb, and I will shut down the abortion clinics. I'll use the force of government to enforce the Fifth and the 14th Amendment equal protection and due process requirements.
Yeah. Now with abortion, obviously that's a very huge issue. I know a lot of people will argue too, where people are saying, I'm going to take a stand and not just continue to go along with this two-party system. I'm not just going to go along with who has the better chance of winning, but I'm going to vote my conscience in this. They'll say, well, you're just a single issue voter. You also mentioned that there's some other things there with Trump, where a lot of people, Christians, are voting for Trump. You mentioned being known as the most pro-LGBTQ president.
That's his own. He said he was honored to be called that. That's not me talking. That's Donald Trump on his Twitter account. Yeah. Look, I'm a former Republican Party official in my state. I used to be on the Republican State Committee here. I was very involved in the Republican Party for a couple decades. I worked very, very hard to elect Republicans. Okay, but I have no more use for the Republican Party. We have the Democrats who boo God, you know, but we have the Republicans who cheer for God and then don't do anything about it. I mean, what's more dangerous to you? If you're out on a ship and, you know, what's more dangerous to you, the ship, the enemy ship flying their own flag or an enemy ship flying your flag? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Republican Party is just pretty much useless now. All of these promises to defund Planned Parenthood all these years. They had the entire government the first 2 years of Trump's term. Did they do anything to defund Planned Parenthood? Which is a joke to begin with. Who's paying for it is very minor compared to the fact that they're allowing it to happen anyway.
Yeah.
But they haven't done anything. They have no intention of stopping abortion. The best you're going to get out of them is a little more regulation. Even this latest Supreme Court judge they've nominated that everybody seems so gaga over, she's made it very clear that she adheres to precedent. She's made that very clear. She says in her confirmation hearings 3 years ago, she said, we're not going to stop abortion. Donald Trump said the other night, it's not on the ballot this time. It's not on the table. I mean, all you have to do is listen to them, listen to what they say and what their record is.
Right.
You don't have to take my word for it, but people need to start paying attention. I believe many, 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 a large percentage of the Christians, the evangelical Christians who are supporting Trump currently, it's willful. It's not that they don't know how bad it is. I read these articles from Christian preachers just trying to justify supporting Trump. They lay out why he's so bad. They admit it. But then they turn around and try and justify it. There is no justifying it.
Do you think they do it out of fear of the Democratic Party? Is that...
Well,
not the only reason, but...
Well, fear is a huge part of it. But they're fearing man, not God. Scripture talks about that. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, I think what tends to happen is what you were saying there earlier is if the Christian community, if those who are professing to be Christians all just said, you know what, we're not going to vote one of these two parties and we're going to pull back and we're either going to vote for a third party candidate that we feel would not violate our conscience. Or if there wasn't one, they would just say, we're not going to vote. And the major parties would see that. They'd see the impact of that. And then they're honestly, they would end up doing what they always do. Then they would try to work to appeal to that block of voters. But what the Christians could do is say, we're just not going to do that. We're not going to be a part of this. I have my own conviction. I have a problem where I cannot vote for a president of the United States that would support abortion in any form. And this is an argument that people give. Maybe you can speak to this too. They'll say, well, you know, it comes back to this pro-life incrementalism type arguments that we've seen for many, many years. Well, you know, under Donald Trump, he's for exceptions in the case of rape, incest, or the life of the mother. But the Democrats, they're completely for abortion all the way up till, you know, the moment of birth. So less babies would die in that instance. And I always come back to, I'm not voting for more babies to die. I'm not voting for less. I'm not voting for any babies to die. God is sovereign.
Absolutely.
And my conscience before God has to be clear. So maybe you want to speak on that as well.
Yeah, again, this is utilitarianism 101. Look it up. Jeremy Bentham, this is what it's all about. It's a godless ideology. Jeremy Bentham was a contemporary of the founders of our country. He was a contemporary of Thomas Jefferson. He hated the Declaration of Independence. He hated it. He was a Brit, Jeremy Bentham was. And he actually propagandized very harshly against the Declaration of Independence and American independence, and especially the claim that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. He railed against that idea. And he's the inventor of utilitarianism. And the key phrase, a famous phrase from utilitarians, is the greatest good for the greatest number. That's not Christianity. That's not biblical Christianity. That is a godless ideology, one that will lead you all kinds of bad places, including where we are right now, continuing to kill, you know, a million or more babies in this country every year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mr. Offling, you're speaking my love language so far. Everything you said is so good. So my question for you is, what's the long game? Because if we know anything, Christians are going to be here long after the parties are done. So what's our long game in all this? How do we untrain the electorate to stop thinking in two-party false dichotomies?
Well, it's a tough question. And I mean, it's an easy question to answer. I can give you the easy pat answer. Okay. It's simply, you just got to hang in there and keep doing what's right and keep calling people to repentance, especially Christians. And that's certainly what I've committed myself to do. But the reality is, it's very difficult. You know, if you stand in the way of this monster, you get walked on, you get abused, you get attacked. I've been attacked viciously in this election cycle, in the first place by BLM Marxists, 22-year-old brainwashed little Marxists, but far more than that, by Christians, including and most especially Christian pastors, some of them who even call themselves abolitionists. So it's hard. It's not easy. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's easy to overcome this, because this country is so far gone and the church in this country is so far down this rabbit hole. I mean, it ain't easy to get them out. It would be easy. Look, 75% of the American people still claim to be Christians in this country. Okay, that's what they claim. If even a small fraction of them would say, okay, I am no longer going to compromise the lives of little babies and how I vote, I'm no longer going to compromise with the homosexual sexualists and their enablers, I'm only going to vote. You know, it's easy to say. I mean, you always have a choice. God never leaves you with a choice where you have to choose evil. The idea that he does is an insult to God. You can always, as Ricky said a minute ago, you can choose not to vote. I do it all the time because I know the condition of my politicians here in Iowa, and I ain't voting for them. I ain't voting for these Republicans. They're all compromisers. I'm not voting for them, so I'll write in somebody that I know is qualified.
Yeah. You know, I'm a
gentleman. Let me say one last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go on. This is why I run, first and foremost, is to rob Christians of an excuse. Okay. In like 36 to 38 states, we're not quite sure how it's going to land yet. And representing 75% or better of the electors, they're going to be able to write in Tom Hoefling and Andy Pryor. Okay. They don't have any legitimate excuse. Now, they still don't have an excuse for voting in evil for evil, even if we're not qualified in that state. They can vote no. They can just not vote. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to vote for evil. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. When I name drop this, Mike will know what I'm talking about. Nathaniel will know what I'm talking about. But I was listening to a sermon yesterday from John Piper. That's going to ruffle feathers, right? And he was talking about how in America, it's the hardest place to be a Christian in America, because we think about persecution that happens in other countries, but we've had it. We've had this freedom for so long. We've had this idea that everything is just gone the way we think it should go as Americans, and we've let it slip from underneath us, because we haven't been fighting for those things. You know, back when Roe v. Wade was on the ballot, where were the churches? I mean, I think, Nathaniel, you even said something about getting a shirt or something before about to wear out to the abortion center, or have a sign, something like open by permission of the church or something like that. Was that what you were
saying? So I was, I had a sign and it said babies murdered here by permission of the church. And essentially with the inference would be by permission of the American church, not obviously the invisible church or anything like that. But.
Right. Yeah. And so I think what happens is there's this easy believism, this easy Christian walk here in America. We've never had to face anything. And now, just like last election cycle, it was, we got to elect Trump because of Hillary. We can't let Hillary get into office. And now it's, we got to elect Trump because Biden and all this socialist, look how far left they are. And again, it's this fear tactics rather than just saying, you know what, I'm not going to fear Marxism. I'm not going to fear socialism. I'm going to stand because God is sovereign, and I'm going to vote my conscience, and the outcome will be the outcome. God is still in control.
Look, Trump is driving a whole generation of young people in the hands of the communists. Okay. So, you know, when they give me that, I just can't. I can't allow that to stand. I hear it every day, and I'm like, give me a break. I see these young people, and some of them are in my extended family. They're being driven into the hands of the left in droves. Why? Because they're looking at the Republicans, the Trump Republicans, and they're seeing nothing but gross hypocrisy out of Christians. You know, those Christians are going to have to give an account to God for that example that they're setting.
Hmm.
I mean, I read this article today, and it was by a Christian preacher. I don't know him, but somebody sent it to me and said, what do you say to this? You know, he's sitting there. It was a question from an atheist saying, how can you be such a hypocrite and vote for Trump?
Yeah.
And the pastor's response was, well, this is how I can do it. And, you know, he gave him like, you know, 600 words of hypocrisy. How is that going to turn that so-called atheist to the Lord? That atheist is going to turn around. These Christians are a bunch of stinking hypocrites. They can spot it a mile away.
Yeah.
So that's my answer. Is disgust at that sort of thing. You know, fear of Biden. Look, a corrupted church in America is far more of a threat to our national existence than Trump or Biden will ever be.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mike.
I don't know how much clearer. I don't know how much clearer I can be than that.
Yeah, I think you hit kind of something important, and we've mentioned it off and on, or I've mentioned it off and on. And, you know, you talked about how Christians have kind of developed this Unitarian type mindset.
Utilitarian.
Utilitarian. Sorry. Thank you for correction. And kind of, I think about just theologically, the landscape of American Christianity. And I think what appeals to myself, like a candidate like you, is denying that there is some sort of divide between the secular and the sacred, and that certain theological systems that have popularized and have become movies really play into kind of that role. And not only that, just Christians being inundated within public school systems in which this is taught, that religion does not have a room or have a seat at the table and to be discussed not on its merits of truth, but rather this synchronistic idea, postmodern, if you want to even put it in that way. And I think that when I think about it, even when you come to elections and when you see it, is Ricky and I have talked about this when we first got you on the show, just about people on Facebook and how, as you mentioned, like they really don't want Trump because of his immoral lifestyle, but yet feel like, well, you know, I need to vote out of fear, whatever may be coming down. I think I really, and you know, just in the conversation we're talking, I really do appreciate you kind of say like, well, no, we hold to principles and we vote those principles and we vote who best reflects the principles we want in our leader. Not just because, well, this guy pragmatically might get me to what I think the country should look like.
Yeah, I've said many times, you know, the first step to saving this country and turning it around is as soon as Christians stop supporting what they say they hate. Yeah. See, it's one thing to say something, but it's another thing. What are your actions? If somebody's words and actions don't line up, which am I going to believe? If a guy tells me, I believe in marital fidelity, okay? And then he goes out to the bars and screws around on the weekends. Should I believe that he believes in marital fidelity just because he told me that on Tuesday? I mean, look, politics in America, because it's our substitute for the ammo box, right? Elections. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing we have to go on, the only thing that amounts to actions in American politics is who and what you support. That's actions. Everything else is just words, 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 words. Words are important. Don't get me wrong. I love words. I love the truth. And that comes in the form of words. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But the actions have to line up. And that means who do you support? What policies do you support?
I think
what you support. Yeah.
I think what Mike was saying there too, and what you're speaking on is what we saw on Facebook. We saw these people that were coming after you and wanting to hold you to a standard. Like, I don't personally know you, Mr. Hoefling. I don't personally know your walk with the Lord, but they were wanting to hold you to a standard of saying, well, people are saying you're a Christian, you're posting things that, you know, to walk as a Christian, but yet the same standard that they're trying to apply to you, they weren't applying it to Trump. And that's when you start to see this hypocrisy start to happen, where it's like, what is it really that's keeping people in this state where they think I have to vote for Trump? And many times I've seen them say, well, we have to stop the Marxism from coming and the socialism from taking over. But again, if we are Christians and we believe in a sovereign God, there is not one elected leader who's in power today that has not been put there by God. So we also believe, knowing that we believe in a sovereign God, we also believe that God uses means to accomplish his purposes and his will. And so if Christians would stand and say no more, we're not going to do this, we're going to stand by our conscience and vote that way. Because I do think we have a responsibility as Christians. We have in this country, part of the means that God gives us in electing leaders is the way that we do it. Through this, we have this republic, and we're able to go to the polls, and we're able to vote for a candidate. And we can say, yes, we're going to vote for these candidates that either line up with our biblical principles and what we say we believe, as you was mentioning there, or we're not going to do that, and we're going to play the hypocrite. You know, and I don't want to say this broad brush everybody. I think just like within the pro-life movement, there are individuals who truly want to see abortion stop, but they really haven't been confronted with an abolitionist-type mindset. They haven't been confronted with people saying, have you ever really considered that the pro-life movement isn't really advancing the end of abortion? They're just continuing to keep it going. And so I think there are Christians who may just be, and I say this in a gracious way, ignorant to some of the things that are out there. But as Christians, we are to seek for the truth, and we should be involving ourselves to understand these things better. But I think that does kind of play a part where there seems to be this fear. So they, as I was saying, they didn't want to hold you to the same standard that they were trying to, or hold Trump to the same standard they were trying to hold you to. And I just found that to be, you know, somewhat hypocritical in that. Because if you're looking for a candidate that best aligns with our Christian values, who else is out there?
Yeah, look, I'm a repentant sinner saved by grace alone. Okay. It's only God's grace and I'm a Christian. Okay. But you cannot draw, or you can't rightfully draw, an equivalency between a repentant sinner who's trying to walk uprightly before the Lord and somebody who's a reprobate who says they don't need God's forgiveness. Okay. That is, in fact, you're in danger of doing what the scripture says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And there's a lot of that going on, I assure you.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a couple questions off the topic of abortion. We know where you stand on abortion. We know where you stand on the institute of marriage as God ordained it. But what would you say to, and we got about maybe 15 minutes left in the program, but what would you say to some of the things that we are seeing in our country today? There's a lot of division. You have the BLM, you have the Antifa. There's a lot of divide that's happening, a lot of social justice, you know, issues being brought to the table. How would you try to bring about a unity within the country to the best of your ability if you were the president of the United States?
Well, any unity that is around anything but the Lord and around scriptural truth, around the natural law, truth, the way God made things, any unity around anything besides that is just going to be phony anyway. It's not going to be a true unity. Mm-hmm. So we certainly don't want to unify with that. If you want to unify the country around what's good, and we have so much going for us in that regard, and we need Christians to be setting the example, being the salt and the light, and unifying together and setting out to do what's right, no matter what the odds are or might appear to be. And that would begin to shed some light on things. I mean, the BLM people, whatever, Antifa people out there, you know, burning things down and all that, you know, and the skinheads or the white supremacists out there who want to kill them, whatever, they all need the Lord. So, I mean, as a political leader, of course, I would try and live out my Christianity, but I would also try and, you know, restore the country to what it originally was. You know, it was originally supposed to be a city on a hill. And it can be that again. I don't know how much longer we have to repent and do that, but it could be.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have so much going for us. We have the truth on our side. we have a constitution that is well grounded in the laws of nature and nature's God. We have the Declaration of Independence as its cornerstone. Okay. We have a system of government that isn't perfect. It's never been perfect. Mm-hmm. That's why the first stated goal of the purpose of the Constitution is we're supposed to trying to perfect this union. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be perfect, but we should be trying to perfect it. And you do that by doing what's right and beginning to set that example again, and by not being afraid to tell the truth, not being afraid to stand up to the Supreme Court and tell them, no, your opinion doesn't mean anything when the result of it is the death of tens of millions of innocent little babies.
Yeah.
So you unify the country around the truth and around what made America great in the first place, its moral basis. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. That's the only way to do it. There is no other way to save this country.
All right. So what about the idea that if you mentioned, you know, that there are three branches within the government here, when we go to the top of the United States, and you have these checks and balances in place. So maybe could you speak to the people that are, again, fearful to jump off this Trump train because they're concerned with Marxists taking over? How much authority does, if Biden gets elected, Kamala Harris is the vice president, how much authority then does that president have where they can just make these changes that will completely, as many people view it, destroy America to its fullest? That's why the founders put in those checks and balances. So maybe you can speak to that. So this way we can kind of get a better understanding of that. So we don't have to be, for those who are on the fence about this, don't have to be fearful of it.
Look, America has survived bad presidents many, many times,
right?
Probably more often than not. You can go through whole eras in this country where we never had a good president. So look, Biden and Harris can't do anything to this country that A, God doesn't allow, and B, that the people of this country don't allow. People need to realize that they're the sovereign in this country under the sovereign God. The people are supposed to be the government in this country. Mm-hmm. So quit being afraid of them. Look, I was stuck in some of those same mental ruts years ago. I didn't know that we could survive Obama. Mm-hmm. I fought to keep Obama out of office. I slept on a cot in a back room in Illinois to try and keep him out of the U.S. Senate. Okay, I didn't think we could survive. We did. We survived Obama, sort of. Of course, it's continuing to get worse and worse. But so, you know, we've got all these examples in the scripture, the Lord telling us, fear not. You know, we just got to do the right thing and let God deal with the results of that. But as long as we get sucked into lesser of two evils kind of thinking, you know, stop complaining that the country's going to hell in a handbasket because you're helping do it. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, someone has to stop and say no more.
Right.
Somebody. And if it isn't Christians, who's it going to be?
Right.
You think the heathens are going to stop this stuff?
Right. In the in Samuel, God says, I desire obedience, not sacrifice. So it sounds to me like the best solution is for each one of us who name the name of Christ to be obedient where we are, whether it's in the polling booth on the campaign trail at work or in the Oval Office, wherever a Christian takes a square inch, I think that the solution for all this is that faithfulness.
Amen. You know, look, a couple of things. The first thing is, you know, you have to draw a line somewhere. You know, without a plumb line, you can't build anything, okay? What's your plumb line for candidates? I know what mine is. I spell it out constantly. You know, I could give you 7, 8, 10 things that are just the non-negotiables. Okay. I mean, if somebody is a God hater, I'm not going to vote for them. If they think it's okay to kill babies, any babies, I'm not going to vote for them. If they think men can marry men and women can marry women, scratch them off the list. If they want to take away our right to keep and bear arms, sorry, you know, et cetera. You know, just what's your plumb line? It's amazing when you set out just simple, basic 7, 8, 10 basic things that you won't compromise on, how fast you start to learn how utterly insufficient virtually everyone is in office now in this country. I don't know of a single member of the Congress that is supportable, and very few in the state legislatures, only a handful. Yeah. Just from a basic plumb line that I've applied, a principle.
And I do think that's one of the reasons why at a local level, we as Christians need to get involved as well, because we can then bring about change in our areas by voting in people who are godly candidates, or people at least who have, you know, the principles that they're standing on that would best align with us as Christians. I want to give you, because we're running out of time here, but I see that you have a conference coming up here, Abolishing Abortion in Texas Conference and Mission. It's got you yourself, your vice presidential candidate, Andy Pryor. It's got Rusty Thomas, John Speed, C.R. Cowley, and some other speakers there. That's October 17th and 18th in San Antonio. Anything else you would like to get out there, promote to the people before we give you any last words that you would want to share with them?
Well, sure. Again, our campaign website is Tom Hoefling 2020, TOMHOEF as in Frank, LING 2020.com, selfgovernment.us, equalprotectionforposterity.com. Those are our websites. I'm still on Facebook as Thomas Hoefling. I was deplatformed by Facebook this week. I don't know if you heard that on my main personal Tom Hoefling account. 4,000 very well vetted abolitionists went poof. Because they didn't like my content, apparently. So, you know, come and join us. We have another small, more private online network you can join up with. It's the Life and Liberty Network. If you look me up, I'll be happy to send you an invitation to that, and you can participate. We also, for the last 13 years now, going on 14 years, we've had a twice weekly national conference call. And you're certainly free to come on that any Tuesday and Thursday night. In fact, somebody else is carrying the ball tonight so I could come do this interview. But come on and join us. You can ask me anything you want. You can ask Andy anything you want, because he's usually on the call as well. So we'd love to have you join us on that any Tuesday or Thursday night. Those numbers, call-in numbers, are right there on the front page of selfgovernment.us. So thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on the program to let others know that there are options out there. You don't have to fear voting one of the two parties. And if your conscience, your convictions, as a Christian, will not allow you to vote for one of the two major parties, don't do it out of fear. Follow your conscience, follow your biblical convictions, and vote that way. As Martin Luther said, you know, I will not go against conscience. And so as Christians, you know, we've seen throughout all of history, Christians taking stands and saying, no, we will not bow the knee to Caesar. We will continue to stand for the truth. We will continue to stand for what is right. And let us consider those things as we go to the polls here. Open polling is already, early voting's already started. So as we go to the polls, consider those things. Again, Tom, thank you for coming on the show. Did you guys have any last thoughts or anything you wanted to share before we go off the air here?
No. There's the first politician that's told me exactly what I wanted to hear. Well, and I don't mean that facetiously. I don't mean that facetiously.
Trump will tell you what you want to hear as long as you vote for him.
Well, I take that in exactly the way it was meant. I think you meant that in the best possible sense, and that's the way I received it. So thank you.
Thank goodness, because I didn't realize how stupid it sounded when I said it.
All right.
Well, go ahead. Most people, I don't tell them what they want to hear. That's for sure. So it's good that I'm among folks that do want to hear the truth. So God bless you guys.
Yeah, you too. Well, that's been G220 Radio for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the program. Until next time, God bless. All right.